are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here, and I think you're going to be delighted as well. This is going to be a blockbuster night, I can tell you. If you are new, or if you're a procrastinator, this next announcement is for you, and that is, it is time for you to subscribe to the K-Files e-zine. If you haven't done so, it's absolutely free. It's our newsletter, comes out each and every week. And as I said, it's free. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to, and we don't loan that list out or sell it or rent it. We don't let anybody else fool around with our email list, all right? And so there's no reason not to subscribe, all right? We are still recoding pages. Some of you are sending me emails telling me about things that are not working, and I do appreciate that. And I want you to continue. If you find something not working on the website at kevinsmithshow.com, I want you to send me an email and tell me about it. Don't assume that I already know that page isn't working. I know about most of them that are not working. Now, this is not because we were attacked. This is not because of a crash or anything. It's just that our hosting company made some changes in the protocols for how you code things. And so we're having to recode some of the pages. And we're getting there. Most of it is working, and things that are not quite working yet are close. So bear with us. We'll get it all worked out. But if you find something not working, do let me know, because don't assume that I already know about that. I may not. You know, on the website in the lower left-hand side, you see an ad for something called Hopeful Hooves. And I really want you to click that. I want you to take a look at that. Because, you know, one thing I know about our audience is that you are a very compassionate people. And most of you have a great deal of compassion for all living things. Well, this is an organization that it's a nonprofit organization. And what they do is rescue horses and adopt them out in a program to help children, okay? They put them together with children with learning disabilities and physical disabilities. And there's all kinds of research that's been done that shows that children that hang around with horses and become friends with a horse and get to ride the horse and take care of the horse and so forth really have a very marked improvement in their quality of life. And this is really a magnificent organization, and we're proud to have their banner on our website. They're helping animals, and they're helping young humans, little humans, that need it. And so be sure you do that, okay? Click that banner and take a look at their program. It is really an amazing and phenomenal thing that these folks are doing. Jerry Wills will join me on the other side of this break. If there is a living, real-life Indiana Jones, it's Jerry. We'll be back right after this. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Did you know The Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcast right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download. I am delighted to have as our guest again this evening, Jerry Wills. Now, he was with us, you'll remember, last week, and he left us sitting right out on the edge of our seats with information about having discovered a Stargate. And we said then, we got to have Jerry back. We even said it on the air, you know, we got to have you back to talk about that. He's agreed to do so. And he is with us this evening. Jerry, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Hi, thank you for having me back. I appreciate it, Kevin. It's a real privilege to be here.
Jerry, you and your wife, Kathy, you have trekked hundreds of miles across jungle and Amazon rainforest and Andes Mountains and God only knows where. Over the years, and you've discovered some amazing things. You talked to us last time about some lost cities that you discovered, and you described some really amazing things. you've found and photographed and examined artifacts that no other modern men have seen, and yet you've got them there in your videos and photographs. And right at the end of the show, I think you must have planned it this way, you just kind of dropped that in on us about having discovered a Stargate. And I asked if it was a natural Stargate, natural portal, or something that was made with hands, and you said it was made, something manufactured. Let's just dive in right there. I obviously don't know the story. I am, like everyone else, on the edge of my seat, waiting to hear the story. And the stage is yours, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. I really didn't expect to go into the Stargate situation with any great detail. I was excited to mention that there is one that we know about. And I was going to kind of leave it at that. When you invited me to be back on the show, I gave it a lot of soul searching and decided that I would discuss it. The reason I'm a little nervous about it, well, actually there's a couple of reasons. Let me tell you the reasons I'm nervous about it before I get into it, so everyone understands why I have some nervousness about this. First of all, this is a real thing. This isn't a Hollywood production, and it isn't someone's imagination. It's actually something that is functioning. There are people who have used it. I'm one of them. And there's not just one, but there are several scattered throughout the world. We have documentation on one even in Arizona, where, you know, we used to live is right in our backyard. Well, not really in our backyard, but you understand.
Yeah, very near.
Yeah, way out in the desert. So we've been developing a list of anomalous criteria. In other words, places that we've heard about, old newspaper clippings, stories, Indian stories and such. Kathy is an amazing researcher, and she's been assembling these things. And there's a reason why we've been assembling them, and there's a reason why we have a fascination with South America, and I'm going to go into all that. It goes back 10 years ago, but first, the reason why I'm a bit nervous is because it's a real thing, and in the wrong hands, it might be a real issue, because we don't really understand the dynamics of what this is actually capable of. Now, I know a lot of your listeners are very interested in things like ghosts and UFOs, anything paranormal, and I am too, so is Kathy. We always have been. And of course, as you know, I'm a healer as well, and I'm very interested in that aspect of managing energy that, you know, is available to me and to all of us, really.
Incidentally, the situation about which I discussed with you privately is much improved.
Good. I was hoping so. I was working towards those ends. So it's good to hear about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, about the Stargate, I have kept this pretty much a secret from all but, you know, a few friends. I could probably go over a list of names. It's maybe 20, 25 people long that I've discussed this with. I probably never discussed it with you because I felt that it was pretty far out there, and at the time we had an opportunity for it, I didn't know you well enough to go into it in any detail. The reason why I'm going into detail tonight is because I trust you, and I have a great deal of respect for you. I also believe that it's probably time for people to know that this is a real thing, and not validated just by what I'm about to tell you, but also validated probably by some of the people who are listening tonight, because there are some of you out there who were there at the time when this occurred, and you saw what happened. Kathy is here. She saw what happened. And now I'm going to tell you all the details, every one of them. I've never done this before in a public forum, in a public setting. but I'm going to tell you everything that happened. It was in November of 1999. Kathy and I had just been married. We got married in September of that year. And was it 99 or 98? Let me ask Kathy. Kathy, was it 99 or 98? Sorry, it was 98. I stand corrected. Because we had just gotten married that year in September. We've been married from September to November, so it's about 3 months. I had a journey going to Peru. There were a lot of strange things that happened in the 2 years following this particular trip that I'll tell you about sometime. We ended up going to Lake Titicaca because there's a fellow, his name was Pedro, who lived in the Andes. He's an Aymara shaman. He's very old. He's gone now. He's passed away. He was one of those remarkable individuals who could do very strange and amazing things with the energy and with his shamanic ability, things like make things appear and then make things float and that sort of thing. I'd never seen anything like that before. He also knew everything about me as a result of our conversations. He was just that psychic. He started picking up everything about me. As a result of that, he decided that he was going to tutor me. And for a short amount of time, he tutored me in some of the things that he knows. My time there was very limited because I was with another group at the time that I had met Pedro. And he asked me to come back, and he would tell me something that I really needed to know about. And that something was where the gods enter into this world. In their mythology, the gods come from the stars, from other dimensions. They don't really know where they come from specifically, but they do know that they arrive here from some other more distant place. And he was going to tell me where. He did. And I went there, and I asked him, how does this work? How do they do this? This is nothing but a big stone. And he then proceeded to tell me a series of tones, a chant of sorts. And in using this, he said that it would open the doorway. Well, I had later had a conversation with a friend of mine in Phoenix. This is much, well, I'd say a few years after the fact, who told me the same thing was true with the Great Pyramid and with several other really ancient places. This goes back to things like Alibaba, you know, saying open sesame and the wall opens. So I listened to him and told him that the next time I went there I would try it. And he says, well, be very careful. It's dangerous. Because you need to have an idea of where you want to go. And my thought at the time was, I want to see the Creator. So seemed like a noble enough mission. I had no other concept for what this might be. If it's the gods, then why not go see the Creator? We arrived to this place. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. We got there just a little after dark, and we stayed there, and it was exactly on November 11th at 11:11 p.m., I was in front of this doorway, had kneeled down in front of it. There's a small slot where you put your forehead, and I started doing the chants, making the sound, really, is what it amounts to. As I made the sound, I had this feeling of inertia. You know, when you're having a dream and you feel like you're falling, that was exactly what this felt like. And I had had that feeling there previously, and it caused me to stop and to move away because it was way too disorienting. I'd mentioned this to Pedro, and he said that that was just the beginning, that I had to stay with it. So I did. And I proceeded on with the second aspect of the verbalization that he instructed me in. And that feeling started passing where I had the abject sense of fear of how it felt to fall without moving. And instead, I had this calming feeling starting to move over me. Maybe I was just feeling more confident that I was going to be all right. And then I went into the third set of vocalizations. That's when I suddenly lost track of where I was at. I just completely became immersed in the sound I was making. And when I opened my eyes, it felt as though I were moving very rapidly in darkness. When I started getting my wits about me, I noticed that I could see points of light that I hadn't seen just a few minutes before when I was kneeling down, and it still felt as though I was in a bit of a kneeling position. As I opened my eyes more and looked around more, it was as if I were traveling through space. And I could see points of light that I became familiar with calling stars. There were galaxies and nebula, and I was moving through this scene with extraordinary speed. I can't begin to tell you how fast I was going, but things were moving past me so quickly that it was astonishing, because if I were moving through space, I would have to be doing warp 100. You know, it was just incredibly interesting to see these things not really rushing at me and screaming by where telephones look like a picket fence, but these different points of light were constantly changing their position as I was moving past them, and they were moving past my field of view, and new objects came into view. This continued for, well, it's hard to define how long, but I would say probably maybe 10 minutes. And the whole time there was this sound, like if you were to let air out of several tires simultaneously with a low rumble in the background. Just this hissing, weird hissing sound, and a bit of a rumble that was almost imperceptible to the ear. I then seemed to have arrived at a destination. And this destination was as though it were a membrane that I needed to move through, because I remember it felt like I was moving through something that was more dense. It didn't feel as free-flowing as it had felt with the few moments before. And then, as I closed my eyes, because it felt like there was a tension, I felt that I had stopped. I opened my eyes, and I was in this place that was like a big, expansive, white room where I really couldn't tell you where the ceiling or the walls or the floor were, but I was standing in a white room of some sort. It was lit, but there were no shadows. And I walked and around and couldn't quite determine, you know, any direction. I felt completely lost and a bit frantic. And then I noticed that over there where I'd come from, when I turned around, because I at that point started keeping track of turning 90 degrees, I saw that there was this large black mass that was hanging in the air just beyond me. And it was probably a good 100 feet from me at this point. Though I really couldn't say for sure, because I couldn't judge distance at all. I went walking towards it until it became perhaps like you're standing next to a large U-Haul truck. And I'm looking at this, but it still isn't right next to me. It's still at a distance from me, and I just don't know how far of a distance it was. Are you still there?
On the edge of my seat.
All right. And with, of course, a great deal of curiosity, I'm looking at this, and I can see inside. It's very black. It doesn't have a shiny surface at all. It's being held in the air by some unseen supports, but there are long tube-like structures, like soda straws, with beads of light that were moving through them. And they were arranged in a geometric pattern. It didn't make any sense to me. In the light moving through there, these tubes were luminous, and the light that was moving through looked gaseous in nature. It was kind of like when you see a fluorescent tube and you see those little balls of light running through a fluorescent tube when it goes bad. It was very much like that, except it was more neon-like and rather colorful. There were yellows and greens and blues and reds and oranges, and these were just sort of moving through at their own pace. They didn't seem to be always evenly spaced, but they were marching along at their own pace. Each color had its own pace as well, it seems. Meanwhile, this thing is floating in this framework. And it isn't a huge and complicated framework. It's actually quite open. There weren't like dozens and dozens of these tubes. There were maybe a dozen of them arranged in this geometric pattern of sorts. And it wasn't a really well-defined geometric pattern either, in case folks are thinking maybe it was like a Merkaba or some sacred geometry sort of thing. It wasn't like that. It was more this arcane. It was just, it must have had a form, a reason for the form, but I couldn't explain what that would be. So I'm looking at this with a great deal of curiosity, and I'm wondering just exactly where the hell am I at? What has happened? I really never intended for this. I didn't know where I was at. I didn't have a clue. Was I dreaming? Had I passed out and I'm having a hallucination? I just don't know. It was about that time that I yelled out, is there anybody here? I did that a couple of times, and behind me there was a voice. And the voice didn't, it was a very strong voice, but it was calm. And I turned, I didn't see anyone. So I decided that I must be dreaming, so I'd have a dialogue with this quote-unquote voice. And I asked it where I was at. And it said that I was at the cradle of creation. And I said, all right, well, that's interesting. What does that mean? Well, it proceeded to go on to tell me that I was in a place where these scientists had, on another world, really. And I couldn't see them because they wouldn't allow me to. But they wanted to explain to me, it seems, where I had ended up. And this other world was a place where they had sought to understand their place in the universe. And in doing so, they had contrived these different experiments trying to recreate the universe, because in their way of thinking, what you had was a universe that just goes on and on and on forever. But though they could never find the end, they felt there must be, because they had already looked down as far as they could towards the structure of the atom. And they said that that was an entire universe unto itself. And they thought that perhaps they were in a similar situation, part of like an atomic structure within something else.
Sounds a lot like quantum physics today.
Yeah, it does, and that's kind of what struck me about the conversation. Because they were trying to look out, and they couldn't see very far, far enough to satisfy their curiosity. So they started looking down. And what he told me that they had done is that they had conceived of this experiment where they would create a model of the universe, and in doing so, they could study it, and therefore, they could understand their place in the universe based upon this model.
All right, we have to take a break. When we come back from this break, we will be on the edge of our seats all the way through the break. When we come back, more with Jerry Wills and this amazing travel through a portal or a Stargate. We'll be back.
home for dinner. It's 3 years later and he's still with me. Pretty plain to see. I think he'll agree that I love, love. I love to be touched. I love to be chased after by the boy who loves me so much. I love love. I love love.
By the way, that song you just heard, those of you listening via internet, is one of our listeners. She's called into the show before. She listens via Dewberry Jam Radio in San Antonio, Texas. And her name is Kate McCarthy. You can catch her music at GarageBand.com. How about that? That's cool, huh? All right, back to Jerry Wills.
Jerry, you're having a conversation with a voice. And the scientists want you to know that you're basically their experiment, right?
Well, first let me say I really enjoyed that music.
Oh.
She's very talented.
She is indeed.
Yeah, I like that. If she has an album, I'd be interested in getting it. And I'm sure everybody else would, too.
Mm-hmm.
The situation was very strange for me. You know, I've now stood there looking at this, and the fellow is saying that they had created this experiment, and the experiment was so they could understand the nature of their universe. So, in doing so, they created this. He went on to explain to me that in the process of creating this thing that I was looking at, this large, and it wasn't a solid black mass. It was like gelatinous looking, really. It had very slow movements, but it was changing shape and form very, very slightly. It apparently was their experiment to understand, you know, their universe, and in doing so, they created a mock universe. How they did it, I just don't have a clue. But in doing so, he said that they had created a universe and that life began evolving within that universe. And that since its inception, which now in my terms, I think he was trying to help me understand that it had been going on for a couple of years for them, and our universe is billions of years old, apparently, that life had accelerated and become prolific in many different places through this universe. Well, they were really curious what was going on in there, so they continued to watch with keen interest. And as they did so, they saw how stars are born and how they die, and they saw it in very rapid time, apparently. And galaxies evolving and de-evolving and so on and so forth. And they found it to be quite fascinating. And then, of course, finding there was life. So I asked him how he knew that there was life in there, because it seems to me that if something is that small, how would you know? I had now kind of lost my fear of where I was at, and I was very interested to hear what he had to say about this. And he told me that they had already figured out a way of going in there and looking around. And in doing so, they, you know, whenever they detected that there was life, that they went in and looked around. He said time inside there was not the same as time where I was at. That, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years would take place within minutes. That thousands of years took place within our hours. It was just astonishing. It was mind-boggling, really, and I'm probably not describing it as comprehensively as it was described to me, because it was all really kind of a deal that kind of had me shook up at the same time.
I'll tell you, listening to you, I get the distinct impression of what it must feel like to be an amoeba.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of how it was. I mean, even now talking about it, I'm just a little bit shook, because I don't really know how to intellectually convey the concepts that were given to me. I'm kind of struggling with it, because, you know, hours and days and years are so vastly different where he was. I don't even understand if he was talking about the same thing as a year for us or a year for them, which could be billions of years for us. I just don't have a clue, and I don't know how that breaks down.
You know, Jerry, this whole thing sounds very, very much like an experiment that's going to take place at the new Super Hadron Collider, the CERN, at CERN, Switzerland, where they're going to try and recreate or try to create a miniature black hole. If, yeah. You know, we may be living inside somebody's Hadron Collider.
And that's kind of the impression that I got. When I read about the project at CERN, France, it...
Is it France?
Well, I don't know where it's at. France, Switzerland...
I think it's right on the border. I think it actually travels into both countries.
Okay. Well, when I read about that, it started making me think about, you know, this experience I had, and wondering if maybe the scientists here are doing the same thing, and how far down this, you know, this goes. I mean, if they create something like this that I was seeing, you know, there's a lot to be gained from that knowledge, that's for sure, because they apparently had satisfied their curiosity on their place in the universe, because he told me that they figured that they must be no different than we were inside this black mass that was there in front of me.
So the black mass is our universe.
Well, that's how it was explained to me. So I told, well, he wanted to know where I had come from, and I told him Earth. He knew what that was all about. said they'd been watching Earth for a very long time, as well as several other planets where there was life. And I said, how do you get from here to there? Because I've got to get back. And he said, it's not difficult at all. We travel from here to there through special places that we've installed. We installed early on in our quest to visit these places, these planets, where there are people who are, you know, evolving species. He says, not all the planets have people on them. Some of them just have plants and animals and, you know, that sort of thing. He said, but we installed these devices in these places so that we could go from here to there, or from any one planet to another, or to any location on those planets to another location on that planet. And I said, like the one that I went through to get here. By this time, I'm figuring if it's a dream, it's a really damn good dream, and I might as well, you know, just parlay this out. And as real as it seemed, I was hoping it was a dream, because I was that's the only way I would not be just really wigged out. I mean, I've seen a lot of things in my life, as you well know, and a lot of your listeners know, but this was far beyond anything I'd ever experienced. And he said, it was like the thing that you used to come here. And he says, how did you find this place? And I said, well, when I activated this device, I was focused on seeing the Creator. And he laughed, and he said, well, it looks like you made your way here successfully then.
Now, this is just a voice. You never saw a person.
I never saw a person. It wasn't a mechanical voice. It was just like a voice of a person. It was right there, except I couldn't see anyone. And maybe it's because they couldn't come into this place that I was at, because it may have been, well, like the thing at CERN. Maybe there's a magnetic bubble around it that's holding it in there. I don't know. But anyway, I continued discussing this with him, and I said, you know, you have used these in the past. What about other people? Have they used them as well? And he said that they had, that they had befriended some of the people. And I figured it must be the shaman or the medicine man. I don't know that for a fact. But he said that they had befriended some of the people in the places they had visited and shown them how to use it, because there were times when it was necessary for them and their people to use these to get out of harm's way. It was their way of helping, because they had created this thing. And so I told him that I had been instructed by this fellow named Pedro, and he didn't know who Pedro was, as I recall, but he said, well, the way that you use these are very specific. You have to know where you want to go, otherwise you don't go anywhere. You're basically going to go through and just wait until you figure out where you want to go. So that's why we only instructed, you know, people who would be able to instruct the other people on how to use this. Well, Pedro had not told me that, except he did say, be sure you know where you want to go with this. So I figured, you know, it was, you know, kind of, it was not obvious what he was getting at. Well,
tell you what, we have a break coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We're about 20 seconds away from it, so let's just make this is a good place to pause, and we'll just pick up with this on the other side of the upcoming break. And I've jotted down a few questions I've got for you, and I know the audience has a lot of questions as well. We'll open the phone lines in the next hour, okay? But right now, we'll just sit back and enjoy this break. Take a breath. Some of you are about to faint. Take a breath, and we'll get more of this amazing account on the other side.
changes, and lately that's all I see. The thing I find so strange is all the thing that's changing is you changing me. There's nothing you can do, baby, that's gonna make me wanna change. I've been living this way so long, I want my life to stay the same. Yeah.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com. Without a doubt, you are hearing one of the most amazing stories that has ever been broadcast in this genre. And I've got to tell you, I am right on the edge of my seat, and I bet you are too. If you're not, you must have already been through this portal yourself, and you know what's coming, but I don't. So let's go back to Jerry, and let's just pick up where you left us. Okay, he's not with us yet. Okay, so we'll get back to Jerry in just a moment. You know, the thing that is just astounding about this is that I know Jerry personally, and I know Jerry is telling us the absolute truth. Those of you who don't know Jerry, I'm sure you have questions. And you will get the opportunity to ask those questions in the next hour. But I'll tell you, I know Jerry, and I know he's telling us the straight stuff. Jerry, are you with us?
Can you hear me, Kevin?
I can hear you now.
All right, good.
Sounds like a telephone commercial. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Why don't you just pick up where you left off, and let's continue. You had asked them about using this, and they told you that they had befriended some people and shown them how to use it.
Right, and and the idea was that they would be able, in times of, catastrophe or problems or whatever, that they could migrate on their world to point A or point B, and I guess they were instructed in how to do that and, you know, going to different places. The interesting thing to me was that in every case that we've investigated, except for maybe one, the mechanism is activated by sound. And that one that I'm mentioning, I don't know if it is or not. But we know that it exists, and it's part of an Indian legend. And
you're talking about the one in Arizona?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So in every case that we're really familiar with, except for that one, we know that it's activated by sound. And the sound causes this to turn on, and when it turns on, boom, you know, you go. Well, I was really fascinated by this, and by now it seemed like I had been at this place for quite a while. My head was spinning with all the information. And he's telling me that a day here is worth a million years on your world or whatever. So I'm trying to kind of keep track of time. I can't keep track of time. My watch says the same time as it said. I had my watch on. It said the same time it said when I arrived. It's like it didn't work at all. Actually, it was kind of flashing like the battery was going dead. So I finally said, you know, how do I've got to go home. My wife, Kathy, she's waiting for me at the other side of that place. And if I'm here and don't know how long it's been, and you're saying the time is different here than it is there, then, you know, maybe she's gone. You know, maybe it's a year later. And I'm really starting to get hyperventilated thinking about this. I'm becoming very... Very, I'm getting really wigged out about it at this point. And so he said that it was really simple. I go back the way that I came. And I said, well, I'm not exactly sure how I got here. And I don't see anything here that would help me to go back except for this big black thing. And he said, what you do is just close your eyes for a minute, focus on your wife. I said, okay, I've got a picture of her in my mind. And he said, all right, stay focused. And I felt like I was moving. And sure enough, I opened my eyes. He said, stay focused on your wife. And that was the last thing that I heard him say. Because I moved towards this black thing, and what I thought was maybe the size of a large U-Haul truck. The closer I got, the more it became larger and larger, and finally it was so big I couldn't see end for end. And then I had that feeling again that I was going through something thick. It was kind of pulling at me a little bit. Well, I finally made it through that, and fascinated by that, I must have slowed down because I was just there. I wasn't really moving. And so I'm going, oh, shit. And I recomposed myself, started focusing on Kathy again. And as I'm focusing, I could feel myself. It wasn't like a sensation of inertia, like you know, when you go fast in a car, but it was some kind of that sound. And there was a sensation of movement, but I can't quite explain it. But the sound increased in pitch, and that rumble came back. And at this point, I'm just going like Dorothy clicking her heels together. There's no place like home. I mean, that really came to mind. Well, I'm looking around, and I'm seeing similar scenes that I had observed as I was moving through the first time. There was this blue star that was just beautiful. There were these other pinpoints of light that came close and then moved past me slowly. Other ones moved past me very rapidly. Beneath me there was a galaxy, but it looked like an octopus with curved arms hanging just, you know, almost to the fields of my vision. And I'm just going and going and going. And, you know, there were periods where it was just really nothing, just dark. And there were lights up ahead, kind of like when you're driving across country. Or lights off to your left, right, or whatever. But I noticed that of all the things that were moving, there was one point of light that didn't. And so I'm focusing on Kathy and noticing that this one tiny little sparkle of light that had come into view was not moving, but instead it was getting larger. At some point, that sparkle of light became our sun, and I went flying past that, like really off to my right, and it was probably the size of a basketball, maybe a little larger than a basketball. And it went off to my right, and I'm seeing planets. I wouldn't say planets, but I saw a planet. I think it might have been Venus, but I'm not sure. And it was off to my left at a little distance, but there was Earth, because it was unmistakable. It was this beautiful blue-white marble. So now I'm screaming towards this blue-white marble, and it's getting bigger and bigger, and I'm not slowing down. So now I'm thinking I'm going to just plow right into this. Like, this is just really a terrible dream, and I'm wishing that I hadn't even started it. I went screaming down towards the ground so fast I can't even explain it to you. And as I closed my eyes, I know I let out a yell, then it was just silent, and I wasn't moving. So I'm trying to figure out where I am. Well, I feel around, and I'm inside of a small room. And I noticed, of course, it was dark when I had left. It was 11:11 when I started this. So now I figure, you know, don't know what time of day it is or if there's even any people left on the earth, but it must be dark because I'm looking out, and there's the doorway, and I can see Lake Titicaca, and I can see Kathy, and I can see the others who are there. So I decided I'm just going to go right through. It didn't work that way. It was like trying to go through a glass wall. I could see them. I could feel it with my hand and hit it with my hand. It had a very smooth texture like glass, but I couldn't get through it. It wasn't giving. So now I'm just totally, you know, anxious about this. I got my composure, and I figured whatever this is, it must work exactly the same way as the way that I got in here. So I felt around on it. I felt the depression where I put my forehead, where I figured my forehead would go, and there were two depressions on this side, just like the other side, where you'd put your knees when you kneel at this doorway. So I put my knees there, put my forehead there, and I started making the tones. And at first, it was like I was in rarefied air, which I was anyway, because this place is at, you know, almost 13,000 feet elevation.
We have to pause for a break. We're going to get the rest of this when we come back. Folks,
hang on. Breathe. Breathe regular. Don't let this take your breath away. Right now, he's trapped inside the Stargate. How does he get out? We'll be back right after this.
Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
We're talking with Jerry Wills, and when we went away for break, Jerry, you were trapped inside the Stargate.
Right. So the first attempt at making sound was kind of weak. I guess I had my breath kind of taken away by the whole experience. I had to become more robust and really vocalize these tones. There were three, and when I did, it was as though there was this movement like that blast suddenly wasn't there. And the next thing I remember, I was just stumbling backwards out of it, went down a small rocky edge and ended up on the ground. I just laid down looking up at the stars, and I first thing out of my mouth was, "I'm back." Now, that's interesting hearing it come from my perspective. There were other people there as well, and one of the persons that was there that was really quite upset was Kathy, because she was sitting off to the side, not knowing what to think. She had already come to tears over this because she was so upset. And if you're interested, she can tell you what she saw.
I am very interested in knowing what she saw.
All right, I'll put her on the phone. She'll tell you.
All right.
Hello.
Hello, Kathy. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you.
We have just heard one of the most amazing accounts that I have ever heard, and I'm very interested in knowing what did you see on your side of the event?
Well, he went up to the doorway. And there's a place to put your forehead and a place for you to kneel down. And it's carved out of the rock. And so he went up there and started doing his toning. There were probably about five or six other people besides me sitting off to the side watching. And
let me pause just for a moment and ask you, at the very beginning when he started doing the toning, what did you really expect would happen? Anything?
Well, he told me earlier that he was going to go through a Stargate. And I said, well, okay. I thought he was just, you know, pulling my leg. But so I says, yeah, okay. And I humored him. I says, well, good, as long as you come back. And so when he was starting to do that, you know, I was thinking, oh, well, I sure hope he doesn't go through, because, you know, what if he doesn't come back? But I figured, you know, if he's able to make it work one way, he'll be able to make it work back.
That would have been very difficult to explain to the insurance company.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had just been married like 2 months before. So, you know, here I'm seeing, you know, the man of my dreams going through a Stargate and never know if he's going to come back or not. Well, he's kneeling there doing the sounds and the tones, and I'm watching him, and he's got this cream-colored London Fog jacket on, because it's cold there at 12,000 feet. At night, especially. And I was watching him very intently. And then within a few minutes, he started to kind of shimmer. And all I can relate it to is like on Star Trek when they beam people back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he started just phasing out, just like that. And I didn't see that white London Fog jacket there anymore. It was completely dark. And I had my eyes on him constantly. I did not look away. And here he just faded out. And I thought, well, that's pretty weird, because I could have seen him if he would have walked off to the side or something like that, but he didn't. He just completely just faded out.
You were about 30 feet from where I was at.
Right.
And were there other people there as well?
Oh, yeah, there was probably, like I said, five or six other people mm-hmm. there with us, sitting around on the stones, you know, just some were meditating, some were, you know, watching. But I thought, well, that's pretty cool, you know, he did it. Well, then a minute goes by, and I'm there going, well, what if he doesn't come through? And I just felt tears starting to roll down my face. And I was just beside myself. Oh, no. Oh, no. Now what are we going to do? How long is he going to be gone? I didn't know what to think. Well, I think he was gone probably, I would say, a minute or two. It wasn't that long. But he came back the same way he left. He just shimmered back in. He just completely came back. I saw the coat again. And he told you that from his perspective, he got to the doorway and the glass thing looking through, and he could see Lake Titicaca. Well, I'm sitting there watching where he went through, and my back is to Lake Titicaca. So he was looking the opposite direction of where how he left.
Mm-hmm.
When he came back. Well, when he came back and he shimmered back in, face back in, he kind of leaned backward, sat on his, squatted down for a minute, stood up, looked up at the stars, and I didn't say a word because I was just, like, shocked. I was glad he was back, but I just didn't know what to say. And he looked over at us and he said, well, I'm back. Let's pack everything up and go. So everybody just packed up everything, and we started to walk down to where our van was, which was probably,
about a quarter mile away.
About a quarter mile away. And we had it was walking through all these, it was like a field, so a lot of dirt clods and stuff like that. Well, told Jerry, I said, let those go ahead, because I wanted to talk to him. And we were walking along, and I said, Jerry, you disappeared. And he said, yeah, I know. And I said, well, what happened? He says, I just can't talk about it right now. I just don't know what to say. And so it was a 45-minute van ride back to the hotel, and he just was completely silent the whole time. He wouldn't say a word.
That's, I don't know Jerry as well as you do, obviously. But from what I know, that's not characteristic of Jerry. He talks.
Oh, yeah. he's very talkative. But when we got back into the hotel room, and I wish I would have had a tape recorder, because he just went on and on and on and on, talking about what it was like, what he saw, in just real intricate detail.
What did the other people in the group have to say about him disappearing?
Well, that was a strange thing, because nobody ever said anything. They didn't say a word about him disappearing at all. They didn't mention anything. Actually, everybody on the way home, it was just a silent ride. Nobody was talking. So it was kind of a strange event, too.
There were a couple who came to me the next day and asked me what I saw. And they said they had seen me glowing and vanish and glowing and back. And they wanted to know what had happened. And I basically gave them a thumbnail sketch of it and asked them not to talk about it to anyone. And then when I was ready to talk about it, I'd let them know. And that's why some of the folks listening tonight who are on my newsletter list, I've told them that it's all right to talk about it now. If they want to say something about it, then I invite them to do so.
Well, I have a couple of questions, and then we'll open the phone lines. First of all, what does this device look like?
Well, you know what it is? It's a very strange outcropping of sandstone. It's a little ways from the shore of Lake Titicaca. It's in a very strange area where all these sandstone outcroppings kind of look like vertical ridges just sticking straight up like a cracker in pudding.
There's a picture of it on the website.
Yeah, there is. We do have a picture of it on the website. If you go to, I think it's expeditionstv.com and look for a link that says Expeditions, there should be a picture of it there.
Now, the picture, is it a picture of this Stargate?
I think so. I'm going to go there right now and make sure that's correct.
Okay. Now, also, I'd like to know this. The tones that you made, you were taught these tones by the shaman, right?
Yes.
Do they in any way resemble what the tones that we're all familiar with from the movie Close Encounters?
No, it wasn't like that. It was an ancient chant of sorts. And incidentally, if folks do go to expeditionstv.com, it's spelled an X, not an E-X, and you go to the link right above Kathy and my picture that says the trips for 2008, look for a link that says Through the Stargate, the 10-day expedition. There's a picture there of this place. One of the things you'd notice about it is that it looks like a woman lying on her back with her arms at her side, and directly beneath her is this large square that's polished out of the sandstone, and in the middle bottom of that square is like a keyhole, and that's where I was.
Okay.
Now, just to kind of give you an idea, I have taken a few people back there before because I've continued to investigate this for 10 years. Last June, I had a group of 8 people with me, and 7 of the 8 people, one of the persons stayed in the bus. But the other 7 were there with me at this place, and I instructed them in the first 2 tones that I've discovered will turn it on, but you don't travel anyplace. And those first 2 tones, when I gave that to them, they went up there, used them. They too shimmered, and they began fading out and disappearing, and within a few moments they were right back again. And everyone who was there saw this. So I've been able to reproduce the effect, but I've not ever gone back through it again. I'm a little bit leery of it because I'm not altogether certain that I am ready to go back through this thing.
All right. Well, let's open up the telephone lines, and let me tell the audience the telephone number toll-free is 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092. Now, I am also going to open up our Skype line. If you're outside of the United States or Canada, okay, you're outside of there, you can use Skype to call in, and I'll put you on the air, and you can talk to our guests. You can ask your questions, make your comments. But you must be outside of the USA or Canada. If you're inside the USA or Canada, use the toll-free number that we provide, 1-800-289-1092. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hello. It's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
Yes, Kevin.
Yes, and hello, Jerry. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing fine. Thanks for calling in, Kevin.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I've got 2 questions for you. The, quote, Stargate that you speak of, how does one activate it? Is it activated by thought, emotion, or is there like a dialing in like the fictional one on TV?
It's not dialing in like the fictional one on TV. The way that it's activated is by a series of 3 tones, which are kind of like I said, ancient chants. And using these 3 in succession, the thing turns on by the 2nd one, and by the 3rd one, it's fully engaged. As I understand it right now, the way that you guide yourself to your next destination is kind of like on Stargate. They have to know where they want to go to, so they have to have a destination code. In this particular case, you have to have a clear idea where you want to go. which is part of the reason why I'm not so sure I want to go back through it again, because I have no idea where to direct myself to.
All right, Kevin, thank you so much for the call. And let me go over to Skype, and we will take the Skype call. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, Kevin. It's Tony from New South Wales, Australia. A very good evening to you, Kevin, and a very good evening to you, Jerry.
I don't think Jerry can hear you clearly, so I will have to relay that. That's one of the little problems we have with Skype, but we'll try to work that out.
Okay, Kevin. No, look, mate, I've just got two quick questions. Does Jerry know what type of power source is used in this machine or this device? Is it zero-point energy, or it could be biological energy from us? And also, where he placed his forehead, is it the size of a human's head, or could it be for, say, a grey or an alien, a little bit bigger? That's all I've got to say, Kev. Have a good night, mate, and I'll catch you later.
All right. Thank you so much for the call. Okay, Jerry, what he wanted to know is this. The place where you place your head, is it the size of a human head, or is it more the size of like an alien, a gray? Also, he wants to know about the source of energy. Is it zero-point energy? What energy does it use?
Well, okay, good questions, both of them, and this is why I've spent 10 years looking into it. The place where you put your head, it's like the size of a quarter of a softball, or maybe a quarter of a grapefruit. It's just an indentation, just big enough for your forehead to sort of go into. But it's circular. It's not elongated, but it's circular, and your forehead sort of fits right there into it. So it seems to fit anyone who puts their head there. I'm almost 7 foot tall, so my head fits it as well as someone who's Kathy's size, because she's gone there, and I've shown her this too, as well as other folks. As far as the energy goes, my guess is that this is a very peculiar type of sandstone in its arrangement and where it exists on the Earth. I believe what's happening is that when you're making the tones, you're vibrating that quartz in the sandstone, you're vibrating the silica, and that is giving off energy, which is adding to the quantum level of energy that may be flowing through that region on one of the Earth's ley lines. I don't know if there's a ley line there or not. I'm no authority on that. But my guess is that there must be. Why else would they have put it here and not a mile away from there? So I'm thinking that by using sound, these very specific sounds, you're resonating your body with the sound, and you're resonating the silica and the sandstone. When those two come into some kind of a harmonic and you get a match, that's when things start to really get interesting. Now, we're going to be going back there in August, if anyone's interested to come along. I just wanted to throw that in as well.
Yeah, and the information about that is on your website. Let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Atlanta.
Yeah, Trey.
Listen, this is the best guest you've ever had, or best show you've ever had. This is
pretty amazing stuff, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but it really, if you've paid attention, and you've noticed things here and there that, you know, you say, well, that sounds like it's probably leaked, and this sounds like it's probably leaked, and there's several different pieces of a puzzle that have come falling down tonight listening to your guest. One is the fact that the whole Stargate, the word Stargate itself, I want to ask a question in a second, but the word Stargate did not exist, as far as I know, until the video game in 1981, which is all based on the stuff from the TV show, which is based on the documentary from 2006. And what he's describing is similar something that they actually found in the series Stargate. They only used this thing a couple of times, but what he's describing, at least from what they used in the show, and what the show, the actual Stargate is something, and it's a device and a piece of technology that is totally different from another device in the show, which actually they actually do put their head into, and then they travel to a different place, but they're not really gone. Their body is still there. Their body didn't disappear in the show. Their body's still there, but their brain, their mind, they're gone there.
Mm-hmm.
What I was going to ask you, your guest is since this is the first time he's ever mentioned this to anyone, and let's just assume that the people that he showed this to didn't tell anyone. When you go back there now, there's a chance that, you know, there might be people there. Let's just put it this way. If a group of people, our government, our guys who are in charge of Area 51 or whatever, who are in charge of all these secret black ops stuff.
Yeah, Trey, you're going to have to wrap it up so he'll have time to answer before the break.
I was going to ask you, could you please come back on the show and tell us if, when you went back, and tell us what experience you had when you go back, and tell us if there are any visitors waiting for you there, or if it was just like it was when you left it.
To answer your question, it was exactly the way we left it. It's in a very remote region in southern Peru. That's part of my reason for kind of keeping this under the wraps for 10 years, because we were concerned that there would be people who would either go and destroy it or keep other people away from it. But, you know, that hasn't happened so far.
If when you go back you find that it's been blocked off or destroyed or whatever, he's saying, would you come back and tell us what you find?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm going to go back and do a video documentary on this when we go back there.
Outstanding.
So
all right.
Video.
Let's go back to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. You'll have to make it quick. Your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Uh-huh.
And what I'd like to know, this, using hypothetical here, let's say you actually spent, you say the time difference is different. Did you actually possibly spend several years there? Is it possible that time travel is possible with a Stargate?
Well, that's one of the things that I've been theorizing about, and the inquiries that I've made suggest that this thing doesn't just operate location to location, but it may operate from age to age. I just don't know how to validate that concept without going through it again, and I'm not really so sure I want to try that, because I don't know what would happen to me if I did.
Kathy, are you still with us?
No, she's not.
Has Kathy tried this?
Kathy, get back on the phone. She's been there with me, and mm-hmm. I've instructed her in the way that I used it, but she's not activated it and gone through, but I have seen her glow and vanish for a few moments, but she didn't go anyplace.
Are you back with us, Kathy?
Yes, I am.
When you tried this, and we've got about 2.5 minutes here before break, when you tried this, what did you experience? What did you feel or see?
Well, I felt a real lightness in my body and a feeling of kind of merging with the stone, but I didn't go any further than that. It kind of scared me. I didn't want to get caught halfway in and halfway out, so to speak, you know. So I'm a little bit more chicken than Jerry is in that respect.
Do you now, there were other people along with you on this trip when you went back. Did you see other people try this and sort of begin to shimmer and glow?
Well, yes. On other trips, yes. And then some people just go up there and, you know, get in the position of kneeling and putting their head in that little cup there, and just
like meditate and they don't, nothing happens. They feel the energy of the rock, but they don't,
yeah, they're
nothing
not making,
happens.
They're not making the tones. Some of them actually back away from it and get afraid of it because they feel like they're falling, and they don't like that at all.
What a mysterious outcropping of rock.
And also some of them say that they have like visions. You know, they get pictures in their head of different things, like ancient people and stuff like that, but I haven't had that. So there's different experiences for different people, you know.
Well, we've got this break coming up, but out here in Arizona, we know about a group of Native Americans that at one time lived in the area around Phoenix, they were called the Hohokam.
Mm-hmm.
And it means the people who were here. They vanished. Nobody knows where they went. And then, Jerry, you're talking about this Stargate that's out here in Arizona, and I wonder if that's where they went.
Well, I believe I sent you a file this morning with a story from the newspaper in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take a read on that, and if anyone listening is interested, just drop me a line and I'll forward that to you as well.
Yeah, it's sort of a looking glass kind of portal.
Yeah.
All right, folks, I told you it was going to be a blockbuster show. I told you, and I never lie to you. We'll be back right after this break.
Sometimes a broken heart is all we need.
Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Sorry for the silence. I pushed the wrong button. Cockpit trouble, pilot error. You may have heard from time to time I talk about how many calls we get, and we just can't get to all of them. We get as many on the air as we can. I'll tell you, Jerry, the phones are lit, absolutely blazing. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Dick from Lebanon, Indiana.
Yeah, Dick.
I just have a comment.
All right.
I'm not buying this whole thing for the simple fact that Stargates don't work that way. I'm just having a real problem with this guest here.
Okay.
And that's about it.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right. That is one of the things about this show, and that is whatever it is that you have on your mind, I find out about it when everybody else does. We believe in freedom of speech. You can express your views. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Yeah, Don.
How you doing today? Very fascinating show, by the way.
Thank you. I'm doing well.
How you doing, Jerry?
Hi, doing fine.
Yeah, I'd like to make some comments and / questions. It seems like I can strongly identify for what you went through, except yours was more of a bilocation where I've done a lot of astral projection. And it seems like there's very strong similarities between the two. And whenever I had these experiences, I could not recall ever doing much, except for the fact whenever I'd come out of them, I'd always felt very spiritually enlightened, knowing things, and everything that you were told by these entities about universes within universes, I've always knew that myself. And I think that this information is not necessarily I got it from anybody particular out there when I was outside my body. It's just I think it's out there as a universal teaching that we kind of grab, that we reach, and we're able to provide it for when we're in this state of being. And I think these entities, these beings that spoke to you, they may have been the creators of our little molecule within all the cosmos, you know, our molecule of our universe, but that doesn't necessarily, they were the creator or the God of all universes, because
the question is, where did they come from?
Yeah, right.
Well,
I think that they're no different
than
us, that they're just developed a process where they're exploring just like us. And there's gods, looking for gods. I think there's probably a god, all-encompassing god someplace. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, sure, of course. And I completely agree with you. I know what you're saying. And I didn't expect that I was going to meet a group of scientists. So,
you know, this kind of reminds me of those Russian dolls, you know, where you got this Russian doll that's about, you know, 6 inches tall, and it comes apart, and there's another doll inside, and then it comes apart, and there's another doll inside, all the way down to a little bitty tiny doll. Now, if you were able to go to where these scientists were, and then
by some means able to go beyond them to the next one up and the next one up. You know, you got to be careful, because if you actually pop out at the top dollar out there, you know, you may be out in absolute nothing.
But the thing is, I don't think there is a top Dow. When we're looking at it, that Dow you mentioning, and there's a Dow in between, and that Dow, there's a Dow in that Dow, but actually there's a Dow outside of the Dow we're in looking at.
Yeah, maybe.
There's a Dow outside that Dow. So
maybe.
So all is non-ending, it's continuous.
Maybe.
And
we don't know, and that's what makes it exciting.
Yeah.
And, Kevin, I was thinking about the last caller that was saying that's not how Stargates work. I just have to laugh. I don't know how a Stargate works. I mean, beats me, but whatever happened was really quite profound. Now, the reason why I called it a Stargate is just because it's in the consciousness. People understand what that means. It's not what it's called by the indigenous people down there. They just call them doorways. And I mean, that's the translation from the Aymara, is it's a door. It's just simply that. It's a door.
Okay.
Okay. One more comment.
So I gave it this name, Stargate. You know, it's just, it's me. It's,
yeah. Okay. Don, one more comment. Make it quick, because I've got lots of other callers.
Yeah. Another reason I identify with what you're saying, because you say there's got to be a resonating sound for you for this to happen. During astral projection, there is also a resonating sound. Just before it happens, you hear a resonating sound. It's like a buzzing. It gets louder and louder, and the pressure comes over you. And at a certain point, you just pop, and you're out of your body. But every time I ever had an out-of-body experience, that's what would happen, a resonating sound. And everybody I've talked to experiences the same thing.
All right, Don, thanks for the call.
Sure.
All right, 1-800-289-1092. I noticed from our call log that there are lots of folks trying to get through. This is an opportunity. The lines are open. 1-800-289-1092. If you're outside of the USA or Canada, that number does work, but it's not toll-free, all right? Or you can, if you're outside of the USA or Canada, you can use Skype and Skype in, and we will put you on the air, all right? When Don mentioned something about bilocation, that's not really what you described. You actually physically left, and the people that were watching saw you leave.
Yeah, exactly. My location would be essentially two places at once, thus the prefix by.
Yeah, and you actually physically disappeared from in front of the rock and then reappeared.
Bear in mind, this rock, if you look on my website, you'll be able to see a picture of it. It's at Journey to the Stargate, the trip that we have in August. There's a picture of it there. If you look at it in the dark, that thing is just about, you know, almost black. It's so dark. And I was there in a white London fog, waist-length, down-filled jacket. It was just colder than Billy Blue Blazes. It was cold up there. And I had this thing on. I mean, you can't mistake a big white jacket in front of a big black rock.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
All right, and your first name?
Denise.
Denise, are you a first-time caller?
Yes.
Well, we got to play some applause there.
actually, I'm on here because I'm on his list. I get news from Jerry all the time.
Okay.
And what I would like to know is, did it change his feeling about, you know, his place in the world and God and creation? And, you know, did this experience color that differently?
Well, you know, it didn't really have that kind of an effect on me. Instead, it was almost like discovering something brand new that I was hoping to find answers to. It's kind of like the first time anyone ever saw color TV. You're just fascinated by this technology and the ability to see color on what used to be just a black and white set. I've always had a very intact opinion about God and creation and the universe and the world and the people. So it didn't really alter that too much. It gave me a much greater perspective, whereas before I might have felt that we are somewhat isolated in this part of the universe. I think that, moreover, now I feel like there's something so much greater that it's impossible to describe, which is kind of a conundrum, really. It went from one end of the spectrum to the other. But I was, moreover, very fascinated with whatever this technology was, because it was made out of a rock.
Well, yeah, it's energy reflected. Well,
yeah.
That's amazing. This is like the most amazing thing I've heard.
It is astounding, isn't it?
Yeah. It
was pretty trippy
really,
for me.
Well, I can imagine. I can't even imagine that you could walk away and speak about it 10 years later. I mean, I can't imagine how you would assimilate it.
Well, I've been pretty nervous about talking about it. You know, when I discussed this with Kevin to go on the air and talk about the experience, Kathy can vouch for me, because I've just been kind of nervous all day long, because I didn't know really if it was time to talk about this or not. I didn't know how it'd be received. But I think we're at a time right now in our evolution on this planet where it's important to know that there was someone else here before us, that there are these things that are real, that are out there, and they're not in just in some really remote place in Peru, but we've discovered that there are these places around the United States, and in some instances, they've built state capitals right on top of them.
All right, we are into a break, so we're going to have to pause here, and we will be back right after this. I want to thank Janice for the call, and we'll take your calls at 1-800-289-1092.
Can't sleep, can't even breathe, but that won't change soon. If you're lonely, ask her, she owns me, she lives in my room. Ooh, 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 ooh. Make up your mind, leave the boy behind. Melt me and drag me down, down into your mind. My clothes are burning, I'm out. See, oh, what it means that you're all she wants for me. My eyes are blurry, they need you loving me. I know what it means that it's unconditionally. We'll be right back.
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
We are back on the Kevin Smith Show with Jerry Wills, and we are talking about this very amazing story. Jerry, of all the things I've heard, this certainly ranks in it ranks at the top of the list of amazing, strange stories. And you know, and there are witnesses that saw what happened. We'd love to hear from them. I know that probably they're trying to call in. Don't give up. Use your redial button and keep trying. You may make it. Let me go straight to the phone line and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin.
Yes.
This is Tony from Oklahoma.
Yes, Tony. What's on your mind this evening?
First thing, are you broadcasting in stereo now?
I've been broadcasting in stereo for the past 4 years.
Well, all of a sudden it just started in stereo on my set. I don't know why. Anyway, Jerry?
Hi.
Hi there. It's great to talk to you. What a fantastic story. Unbelievable.
Thank you.
My question is, who do you think you talked to?
Oh, that's a good question.
If it was not God.
Well, I don't think
you said
God.
You wanted to see the, you wanted to go to the Creator.
Yeah, I think what happened is that it was the intention was translated literally to the creator of this thing that I was using.
Oh.
That I had moved through. And I wasn't expecting that. I didn't really know what to expect. You know, to tell you the truth, I didn't expect this to happen at all. I wasn't thinking this was going to happen.
Right.
And this is the sort of stuff that, you know, tall tales are made out of.
So you may have talked to the actual creators of this system of some sort of transportation device.
Well, that's what they told me that they had done, is they had created these on many different worlds,
right,
and that they had also created several versions of the same thing at different places on the planet, so you could go from point A to point B quite easily.
Now, I get, well, there's no way to answer this, but I'm curious. I wonder how old they are. How long have they been around?
Yeah, it's impossible to tell you. I don't have a clue.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If they are, if we are living in their Hadron Collider, I hope to God they don't have a power failure.
I'll drink to that. Jerry, a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Tony, thanks for the call. 1-800-289-1092. And I hope they don't lose their government funding for it, too.
Yeah, really.
I mean, we're in a world of hurt if they do.
Well, it kind of makes sense with the concept of the Big Bang, though, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, could be. Yeah, there was a Big Bang because it was a tiny little particle that exploded in their Hadron Collider, and they thought they were just going to create a little black hole, and look what happened. Now, you know, that's something to think about.
But you know something? They did tell me that they have a concept for God. I left that part out because I asked them. I said, well, do you believe in God? And they said, well, of course. There's one creative force that's evident in our universe as it's evident in yours. So they obviously knew about, you know, our belief structures. I guess they kept track on it. I don't know.
You know, that's the kind of, you know, remember the Men in Black?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the second one?
Yeah.
And the whole galaxy was in a little bauble that you could wear on a necklace?
Right.
Hmm. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yes, Chris.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Just a real quick comment for you. I really, truly think that this thing, whether you call it a Stargate, whatever your phrase is for it, I believe that it's an ancient conduit. You know, we are energy, and we're able to manifest and move in ways that energy can. And I think this was just an old school conduit. You know, like a psychic subway or system of some sort. You know, and whether you're looking at remote viewers of today that, you know, are injected with this or whatever, and in the deprivation chamber, I think that it's all the same. And it doesn't make a difference if it's like this in a jungle somewhere or if you're in some government room somewhere. I guess that's all. It was just an opinion.
All right. Thanks for the call. What do you think, Jerry?
I agree. You know, the local people there talk about this thing glowing sometimes, you know, that they know that it glows, and people walk out of that doorway or come through that doorway periodically, and sometimes they're dressed just like in ancient times. Other times they come through there and they're dressed in robes, they say. And so that was transfigured by the Catholic Church, that it was saints coming through. But they see people coming through that thing periodically and going back into it periodically.
Are the people there afraid of this thing?
Oh, yeah. They don't like it at all. I mean, it's not that they don't like it, really, but they don't want to get around it very much. They don't fool with it. It's there, and you don't go there at night. Uh-huh. I really had to do some convincing to be able to get us there at night. And, you know...
And why did you want to go at night, Jerry?
Because that's when this thing comes active and people come out of it, and you never know when someone's going to come out of it. And they don't want to be there when the gods return because they don't want to offend the gods.
Hmm. Well, you know, the idea of science being involved, for some people, they're, and I'm not belittling this, but they're very, very religious, and they have a real difficulty getting their minds around the concept that science was involved. And yet, in the story of the creation of Eve, it very clearly describes genetic engineering.
Sure.
Doesn't use that term, but it clearly describes modern surgery on Adam, excising genetic material, and from that, Eve was constructed. Now, I mean, any way you slice that, that is science.
Sure.
And so, in listening to you talk about this, it certainly has resonated with some ancient themes, not only in the Bible, but in the Bible, some themes, some things that we're told. It resonates with some other ancient scripts, particularly the Sumerian. Did you think to ask them if they were Anunnaki?
No, I didn't. But I didn't get the sense that they were really that invasive into this place. They told me they came here periodically to study what was going on here, just like they went to other worlds and did the same thing there.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Jerry, this has been a most amazing 2 hours, but the 2 hours is expiring on us. We don't have government funding, but if we did, I would have to tell you it's up. And I want to thank you for being with us. What a fabulous, fabulous 2 hours. Tell us again your website.
It is Expeditions TV, spelled an X, so it's expeditionstv.com. If you're interested in the trip, we're going to be making a trip back to the Stargate, specifically to southern Peru and La Paz, Bolivia. It's going to be the end of August. The information is online. Just look for my picture and Kathy's at expeditionstv.com. You'll see a link. Follow that link and look for Journey Through the Stargate, because the people I take with me, we're going to go and activate it again, and I'm going to show you how it's used. So,
all right. Man, thanks for being with us, and I hope maybe we can do a show with you while you're there. We did one from Peru before.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, stay with me on the line for a moment.
All right, folks, I told you, and I didn't lie. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.